Hi, and welcome to the Switch Natural podcast. My name is Andrea Dar, and on my journey to find non-toxic products, I've met some amazing people. People that are driven by their life experiences to create something new that can help others on their wellness journey. I'm sharing candid conversations so that you can be inspired too. I have loved makeup ever since I was introduced to makeup as a young girl. My aunt gave me a makeup lesson and taught me all this stuff. And ever since then, I've just found it to be so much fun. So it's especially exciting for me to be talking to you as an incredible makeup artist and also as the founder of one of the very first clean beauty brands that I stumbled upon and really loved and found to be so unique and different than everything else that I was using. But I would love to know, when did you fall in love with makeup? How did you get interested in it?
Well, I have a similar story to you, I think, where, you saw your mom using her makeup and you were all fascinated. And, I'm obviously much, much older than you. So I remember my mom back in the day, it would have been like I was born in 1955. So I'm up there in age compared to you. But I remember her in her bedroom, she had a vanity, and on the vanity was a round box. And she would open it up and the marabou feathers came out of it with this white powder. Because in the olden days, we didn't have the cotton puffs. They used marabou feathers to put your powder on. I actually don't know how that technically really worked, but I guess it did visually, because it sure got me visually sucked in. And then she had her little metal tube, which is this beautiful design, carved into it. And she'd pull it apart and she'd put on this bright red lipstick. And that was my moment of, oh my God, is that ever beautiful? Look at how pretty my mom looks. I want to do that. Typical little girl looking at her mom with complete adulation in her eyes, that's how it started. And I've always just remembered that old fashioned style. So when I did my brand, I wanted to have, the little pot, little rouge pot that they had back in the day that was frosted glass with a little metal lid. So I just kind of copied that idea.
And it's heavy. It's heavy and glass. So I love the way that your packaging is.
Well, the packaging makes it feel elegant when it's got a little bit of weight to it. In the industry, they'll put a piece of metal into the tubes and things like that to give it weight. Because it's most of the time, it's just plastic. They just do it so that it looks like it's metal and they put little weights inside. Bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that. That's funny. Wow. Yeah. All the tricks. So did you start doing makeup on your friends, or how did you get into doing makeup for other people?
Well, I remember as a kid, this would have been the 70s. And I remember the magazines all had eyeliner. Eyeliner was a big thing. And I remember 14 at the time. And I said to my mom, "Mom, I want to wear eyeliner." So she bought me that old Max Factor cake eyeliner from back in the day. You had a little brush, you had water and you put it on. So I would wear that to school every single day. And, I was a bit of a weirdo. I didn't like using soap and all these cleansers and stuff. So I would go into the kitchen and I would use the olive oil to clean off the eyeliner. And that's how I got stuck on that very easy way of handling makeup, very low maintenance, user-friendly, no complications, step 1 to 10 of your skincare. I'm super easy. And basically that's what started it. That little bit of black eyeliner and my olive oil.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's healthy for your skin too. Sophia Loren swore by olive oil, still does to this day, supposedly.
Yeah. When I run out of the coconut cream, I grab olive oil from my kitchen. I think that
exactly.
It's such a good tip. Yeah. You really make your skin doesn't dry out and it just feels so much better. And I'm obsessed.
Also nourishes the lashes.
Oh yeah.
Because we always forget our lashes. We forget our eyebrows. If you think about it, when you're putting on and cleaning your face, most of us never really go over our eyebrows. We never put the moisturizer on our eyebrows to get the skin underneath.
Right.
Or do we put anything on our eyelashes?
Which could benefit from all that oil in the...
Exactly. Nourishes the roots. You're getting nice, healthy caprylic acid on your lashes. And, it's antifungal, antibacterial. So it's you're getting, it's really valuable, coconut oil.
Yeah. It's amazing. That cream. I actually... I just did a little video showing how I remove my makeup using that coconut cream. It's just luxurious. It's like a face mask.
It comes off in 2 seconds flat. Even the most caked on fake lashes and tons of waterproof mascara, it is off like that and it nourishes the lashes.
It's amazing to me that people are using the really drying makeup remover.
Yeah, there's all alcohol in there. It's disgusting, actually.
And it doesn't work as well, like you're saying. It comes off so much easier.
Because you have to rub more and you have to, you know, it just doesn't slide off of the coconut. It just slides off. And the coconut, they were using it on the RuPaul show to take their makeup off. And Angelina Jolie, when she was doing Maleficent, she used coconut oil to take all the prosthetics that she had on her cheeks and that, because she was using, they were using the chemical stuff on her. And she was hating it because her skin was burning. And that's like the worst thing for your skin. And coconut oil, man, it was off in 2 seconds flat.
So nice. So is... That's something that all of your products have are oil-based, right? And made to be nourishing for the skin. Is that correct?
Yes. The all the original stuff, all the ones in the little pots, you know, all these, they all have coconut oil in them, and they're all oil-based, but they're the right oils that are conducive to the skin. And I just wanted, can I clear up something? You know, a lot of people used to get mad at me and say, coconut oil clogs the pores. And I always say, and they're 100% right, it does, but I don't use that kind of coconut oil. The coconut oil that I use, we have now had it tested, like scientifically tested. It does not clog the pores. When that testing, that original testing came out, was it done in the 70s where they tested on the inside of rabbit ears? And that, who knows what kind of coconut oil they use, but cold pressing still involves heat. And the reason I do use coconut oil is because coconut oil in nature has the highest levels of lauric and caprylic acid. The highest levels besides that are human breast milk.
Wow.
People don't realize that. Human breast milk is filled with lauric and caprylic acid. It's antifungal, antibacterial, antimicrobial, and antiviral. But what happens, the industry loves to heat things up. So once you heat that coconut oil up, you destroy the lauric and the caprylic acid. You have kind of a dead product, and it's not processed properly. That's a whole nother long story. And so what happens when you put it on your skin? Oh, yeah, you're going to break out for sure, because, you know, it's oxidized and it's fermented by the time it gets into our hands and onto our faces. So we have a system called cold centrifuge. It's a spin system.
Yes, and like the juicers. You have a centrifuge.
Exactly. So you get all the water out of it, so it doesn't oxidize and ferment, and it never gets heat. When you do cold pressing, the machines heat up to very high temperatures. And so your coconut oil is getting heated when it's cold pressed. People don't realize that.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And then we need all the money to have it tested. Our coconut oil does not clog the pores.
Amazing. Yes. And I love, and the texture of it. I mean, you can just tell there, it's a step above.
Yes.
I mean,
you smell it too. Just the smell alone is a difference, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, you can eat it. You put that down for your cat or dog, it'll be gone.
Really?
That's telling you something. When animals are gravitate, like when I just put my beauty oil on a little minute ago, my dog is licking my neck and it's just like down.
It smells so good, the oil.
Yeah.
I just bought a bottle that has that real vanilla, delicious smell. So at what point did you realize that makeup was toxic for us?
I'm a mad maniac for purging. I have as a kid, I was always like fasting and doing all these things. I just wanted healthy food. I don't know where I picked this up from. It's, you know, past life, who knows? Anyway, I was always like cleaning. And plus my mother, we were brought up in Canada. So we had, you know, garden in the back. We had, you know, the woods in the back. We got berries and blueberries and you name it. We grew all our own vegetables. So I was brought up very healthy. We weren't allowed to have sugar or soda pop. You can tell I'm Canadian with that word. And so what happened is I just went in the industry, and I was in the industry for quite a long time, and I wasn't feeling well. And I ended up getting really advanced blood work, urine analysis, and hair analysis. And this is, I had to pay for this out of my own money. This was not included in your insurance. They're not going to, you know, do that kind of testing. So I paid, you know, a few thousand dollars more to have this really advanced work done. And then when I went to pick up the results, they said, "You work in the cosmetic industry." And I like, whoa, yeah. How do you know? This is because we see a lot of chemicals in you that are in cosmetics. Now, I do want to say that I'm not blaming it completely on the cosmetic industry, because, you know, back in my day, we also had, you know, I had a lot of lead in me. Lead is also in hair dye. Lead is in, you know, back in the day it was in paint. So my bedroom was painted, you know, when I was inhaling all that stuff. And, you know, the list goes on of what we're being inundated with chemical wise in the environment, in the air, the food we eat, the, you know, pesticides, insecticides. So I started getting really involved as what was going on. And I wanted to know what I was putting in my mouth. I wanted to know what was on our lettuce that we were buying from the store and how vegetables were grown. And from there, I became a raw foodist because I really wanted to go clean. And yeah. I was a raw foodist for a few years and I still do a lot of raw foods, but I learned so much about how oils and herbs and that were processed and even how they treat our oils that we use for cooking or for eating or in our products. And when I saw all this documentation, I'm like, oh my God, this is not good for us. So I wanted to do something that basically was skincare meets color. Because my strength was, you know, I'm a makeup artist. I'm not an esthetician. So my knowledge was more on color and textures and how it photographed. And so I took the concept of the raw food and I added color to it. And that's how it started with the little pots with all, you know, waxes and oils. And oddly enough, one of the old chemists from one of the biggest cosmetic companies in the world, he said, actually, I was very smart. He said, you're going back to how they originally did makeup. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. I'm going back to the olden days.
I love it. Yeah. And I think it really is so unique. I mean, when I tried, I think it was like the Living Luminizer, it was so different than everything else I had used. It wasn't like a clean brand that was trying to act like conventional brands. It actually felt good on my skin. And I thought that was such a neat thing.
Well, that's the Living Luminizer is an actually interesting story because that was one of my first products I did. Mm-hmm. And I was working for Victoria's Secret. And even at that time, I was putting jojoba oil on the skin rather than baby oil or Vaseline. I just wouldn't use those products. And jojoba oil has a beautiful yellow tone to it. So when I put it on their bodies looked amazing. And then when I looked at their skin with conventional makeup, I'm like, oh my God, their skin doesn't look as good as their skin looks on their bodies. Like, what is happening? This is how I started the brand was because of all of this. And one of the things that I noticed that is with foundations, you know, depending when, you know, they're out in direct sunlight, then they're putting them in a little house or under a palm tree. And I could see the difference in what was happening on their faces compared to what was happening on their bodies just with light. And I was realizing, man, oh man, this stuff in there is causing problems. I wanted perfection. And also when I did highlighters, they were called highlighters back in the day or illuminators. There was no such word as luminizer. Luminizer was a chopped up word that I invented. And so I wanted my product to be called Living Luminizer because it's this ethereal glow, this aura on the skin that looks like skin that has the slightest little bit of luminosity. Because in the day, you know, everything had a statement it was making. They were all too heavy and too thick on the skin. I wanted to take that all down and make it into basically just an oil that reflected light and had a glow. So that's where Living Luminizer came from. And then then obviously the uncover ups, calling it uncover up because it was covering up, but it didn't look like, you know, you had tons of makeup on your skin. And all that was because I was, you know, working with bare naked skin. When you see the body on their legs or the skin on their legs or their bodies compared to what was on their face. We're talking a whole different spectrum under lighting in front of the camera. So I wanted to get all those fillers, the binders, all these like emulsifiers, all these alcohols out of the product and give more youthfulness and more reflective glow and just radiance on the skin. And that's what my whole brand was about. It's not making a huge makeup statement.
I love that you can wear the luminizer during the day. I've always felt like I couldn't put highlighters on during the day because it just looked like disco ballish, but it doesn't have that glitter effect.
Exactly.
It's just luminosity.
It makes your skin look younger. That is what makes you look radiant and glowing because, you know, when we look at children and we see their skin looks moist and, you know, I like to use the word succulent. It's just beautiful. And then when we get older, we powder ourselves all down. We look like a dried up prune mostly as we age. It's the worst thing you can do. So I wanted to put back radiance and that glow with, you know, really good ingredients that were actually doing something for your skin, you know, for the preventative for the younger girls. And they look more youthful and moisturizing and hydrating for the older women, for us mature girls.
And is that sort of led you through that
idea has sort of carried you through to each one of the products. You've tried to keep that going in terms of everything looking skin and having life and not looking flat. One of my favorite products that I actually ration now, because you're not making it anymore, is the Swish Shadows. And that's one of the few things, aside from the blush, I believe, that is a powder, but I have not found anything that looks quite the same. That Garden Rose 12, I have scraping the pan. I rarely use it just because I don't want to run out of it. But
I think I have another one if you want. I can send it to you. I have a bunch of them.
Oh, that's nice. That would be amazing.
Those minerals last a long time. No, we are redoing those. We're reformulating, because what's happening, the industry is changing a lot. And, we've actually expanded our labs, and we've actually branched out to other countries. I'm going to be honest, I fired most of my American labs. I just wasn't happy with the
really.
Yeah. So we've gone overseas, and so we're having those redone.
That's very exciting. They have, they are powder, but to me, they don't feel dry, and they have so much dimension. Every other shadow looks like kind of flat on my eyes, I feel like.
Well, here's the problem.
A little bit of dimension.
Here's the problem in the industry with the powders. And I can say 100% we do not do this. I do not like, nor do I use baked powders. Everybody's, oh, it's a baked powder. Let me tell you what baked powders do. That means they've been heated. That means they've been dried out. So when you take a dry mineral and you put it on your skin, what does it do? It sucks up the life of your skin. It sucks up your moisture and your dewiness. And if you put it on your face and you put some luminizer on top, the luminizer is gone, because that poor dehydrated powder is just sucking whatever it can. It's hungry. It's dried up, and it's making your skin look dry. So I am not a fan of baked powders. So whenever I hear baked shadows or baked blushes or baked this, baked that, I run like across the other end of the world.
Interesting. How did you make, or how do you do the blushes then, if they're not pressed or if they're not baked? Is there another process?
There are other techniques of doing it. One is involved the amount of heat that you use. This is where the concept of raw food comes in, because you've heard of dehydration, where you can't go above a heat, because we're also using good ingredients, like good oils in that. If you're using high heat, you've just oxidized and destroyed the oil that's going to cause free radical damage on the skin once you put it on your skin. See, these are things that people don't think about. They think, oh, wow, that's a pretty color. Oh, wow, that's a pretty package. And they just put it on their face.
Right.
And
right.
They don't realize is there's so much more to how a makeup is produced and made, actually, how it's formulated. And we like to put in really good ingredients that are conducive to the face, and we cannot use those high heats that are used in baking. And not only that, this I'll just grab one here that I have sitting here, but this is one of them. And even if you look at the texture of this, it's almost rubbery, so if this falls, it won't break and smash up.
Interesting. That is so neat.
This doesn't have heat added onto this. And it's also done without fillers and binders. So I could take the palest pink that we have, and I could put it on a very deep toned girl, and it's not going to have a white overcast or look weird. This is all new technology. And, like I said, we had to go overseas to find all this stuff.
Yeah. And so is that part of, was the way that the ingredients are made, is that the main reason that you're going overseas, or can you not get the quality of the raw materials, or like what are the reasons?
Well, it has nothing to do with the quality of raw materials. It's just, the quality of the labs. And it's not that the labs aren't good here, but a lot of them are, they're really hung up on just doing traditional cosmetics where,
we've
been doing it since the 40s. Let's just keep doing it this way. It's working. They add in some new ingredient with a claim, whether it works in the product or not. And, they can say, oh, it does this, it does that. But does it with all the other chemicals that are in there? They don't even know that for a fact. All they need is verification that product, that single ingredient works as, for whatever on your face. And they can pop it into a product with all the other chemicals, and they don't take into consideration combustion.
The way they work together.
You're actually just aging your skin right now, honey bunny.
Yeah, it really is skincare and makeup together. And we wear our makeup all day long. It's it seems like it should be obvious that that is an important part of it, but it's completely overlooked.
Well, I compare it to, you know, my products, I compare, like, you know, to eating healthy food. You're getting real organic, and it's not all 100% organic, but, you know, we have organic ingredients in it and clean ingredients. And then, you know, what is the other option is fast food. So I call it fast food makeup.
Yeah.
Get it? Processed.
Great. That's a great comparison. Yeah. Like one is damaging to the body and the other one is nourishing to the body.
I remember I did a bag years ago, a little like a knapsack bag, and I gave it away and it said, say no to fast food makeup.
That's cute.
RMS Beauty on the bottom of that. Everybody wanted one of those bags because it was making a little bit of a, you know, controversial statement, but it's a cool bag.
That's cute. So what was the most challenging part? Has the most challenging part been about making the makeup? Has it been finding the right labs to do it the way that you want to do it? Is it finding the safe ingredients? What would you say?
Well, it's not so much find the safe ingredients. There's an abundance of that. You just have to do your research. One of the problems was I wanted to expand outside of just the little pots, you know, because I'd been doing these for years, and we had to find other labs. The American labs that just weren't up to par on new innovation in my eyes. And also packaging is probably one of the biggest problems, I would think, because, you know, we want to do a lot of innovative packaging, you know, like our refillables, you know, but little things go wrong here and there when you're doing, you know, a new mold, you know, packaging is tricky because if somebody does come out with something very, very good, it's usually bought right away by the big companies that can order gazillions of them. So the smaller brands, like mostly we were smaller, we couldn't get anything because we didn't have the capacity to order in large amounts. So we were very limited. Now that I'm getting bigger, that is not a problem anymore. It's amazing how a lot of options open up for you once you've got like your investors and got that excess money behind you, that you can get more innovative formulas, innovative packaging, and some, you know, ulterior ulterior ingredients too that you've never heard about, because they, you know, we're at the bigger labs now, so you're finding out which ones those all are.
So a couple things,
small brand, you don't.
Right. A couple things come to questions. One, I want to ask, how has it been having investors? So it sounds like that's been a good move and it's expanded. I mean, you've been able to do new things.
Well, you know, oddly enough, you know, at the very beginning, I was notorious for saying, I don't want an investor. They're going to tell me what to do. And you know what? That worked for me all those years. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you something, I learned a lot of stuff, you know, and then I realized, wow, man, I'm like falling behind here because, you know, I'm still doing makeup and, you know, paying for what's coming in. And we're not really, you know, I wasn't paying for any marketing, had absolutely no marketing, nothing.
Really? Yeah.
Nothing at the beginning. And then, you know, these guys came along and, you know, basically they hit a chord with me because of the fact that they weren't telling me what to do already before they even bought me. and I like the idea that they didn't have tunnel vision. They've never had a cosmetic brand. That intrigued me.
Oh,
and plus, okay. I didn't have to, you know, even our board members are just a few of us. It's not this huge entourage of all these old guys that have been in the cosmetic industry for 10 million years. And this is how we did it back then. It's like, I would die. So right now I have the perfect investors for me. I'm very, very happy. And, you know, that's they're awesome. Investing money. They're happy. And as long as we're all happy, that's great. And I'm still allowed to do what I want to do. I'm still allowed to speak up the way I speak up. And
that's great.
And they think it's great. So, you know, I'm not told to be quiet about, you know, chemicals and things like that. I like
awesome. Yeah. And so the other thing that I was thinking about was, how was it in the beginning? Because I mean, you've been around a while, but even when I look back, when I started to on this journey, searching for safe, clean products, it was 2014 and there really was not a lot out there and clean wasn't trending. So you were even before that. So what was it like in those early days? Was it hard to find people that were interested in this or?
Oh my God. It was terrible. I was crying half the time. You know, the magazines wouldn't write me up and they all knew me. They'd all call me in. They loved to listen to my stories. You know, it was invaluable information for them because I knew my and you know, but they wouldn't put me in the magazines at first, you know, or I'd get a little section in a clean magazine somewhere, some healthy, you know, editorial or healthy, magazine that would put me in somewhere, or I was put off in the corner, just put together with the clean brands. And I wanted to be beside all the other brands. You know, I thought of myself as being equivalent quality wise to a lot of them. And it finally started happening. But what happened is it didn't happen at the very beginning. I couldn't get into stores. People were hesitant. I did get into my first store was a store called Vert in California. They took me. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to Paris to do French Vogue. And I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to take my stuff in there. I'm just going to go in. And so I had my things with me and I decided to, like, you know, I wanted to show the people at Vogue, right? And mm-hmm. I decided to go into Colette in Paris. Yeah. Everybody knows what Colette is. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give it a shot. So I walked in. I said, hey, I'm Rosemary Swift. I'm a makeup artist from New York. You know, I'm here doing French Vogue. You have to name drop. It's all about name dropping. And they had a look at it and they kept it. And the next day they ordered. Within one day, they ordered my stuff and my stuff got into Colette. So when we started going out to stores, they go, well, where are you? And I go, well, we just got into Colette in Paris. That opened the doors like a house on fire. You can't even imagine.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it just opened up. Everybody wanted it too, because Colette was known as being one of the innovators for anything new that came out that was good would be in Colette. Yeah. Everybody wanted to be in Colette, and it was not an easy place to get in. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go in, name drop, you know, I look nice and was friendly and, you know, and it worked out.
Sometimes you just got to go for it. You had what they were looking for. That's awesome. That's a neat story.
No, I was just going to say too, that, you know, as I started, you know, growing with the brand, you know, some of the big magazines still wouldn't put a picture of my products in there. Like if a celeb said she used RMS Beauty or if a model said something, they would mention it in the text. But they would not. That would be the one brand on the side that didn't have a picture.
Why do you think that was?
Advertising. I didn't have the money for advertising. Yeah. And bigger brands probably. You know, this is going to sound like woo, 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 but it's not supposed to be. But I'm not saying this with that intention. I'm sure that, you know, these big, huge brands that are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a magazine ad, and then I'm getting a picture on the side. Yes. Not paying anything. So I think there was a little bit of that there. And then a little bit, what do you mean a clean brand? Who cares about a clean brand? You know, what does that mean?
There's like this, this idea that like clean wouldn't work or something, you know, I feel
like clean at the beginning didn't work. Most of it didn't work. If you know, you rub it onto your
hand, right.
A couple of times it was gone, you know, and the ingredients were pretty lame. I remember once my first brand that I saw that was claiming to be organic. And I looked at the deck and I said, they had one organic ingredient. That was organic olive oil. It was
70% of the product or something.
No, I couldn't believe it. Like, how does that make that product organic just because it has one oil in there? And a lot of, at the beginning, I had a hard time finding a lab too, because I had my own starting formula. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, they would say to me, we don't work with people's formulas. And I go, well, this is what I want. And they go, well, this can't be done for one thing. This, what you've done here is basically, they do tell me it was stupid. And they said, you know, organic products or mineral lines like Bare Minerals was used as an example. And I said, I don't want a mineral line. It makes your skin look dry. They're gross. Yeah. You know, that's my verbiage to them. Exactly how I said it. It's like, that is not beautiful on the skin. This is beautiful on the skin. They go, sorry, couldn't find the lab. Finally found one. And worked with them for a long, long time. And then they closed down. And then I had to frantically go out there and search. But by that time, you know, people were starting to get what was going on. So
then you had better luck. Yeah. I love this story because it's like you knew what your ideas were going to work. And it was just a matter of finding a way to make it all come together. That's what it sounds
exactly.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I wouldn't take no for an answer. If they didn't want to do it, I'd just say, fine, I'll go to another lab.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the labs too, we had a few iffy labs at the beginning would say, this is the coconut oil I want to use, which is the cold centrifuge. And mm-hmm. I would get the product and go, it was rubbery. It smelled weird. You know, they used way too much heat. They burned the rosemary in there because we used rosemary as a preservative. If it's hot, too hot of a pour, the rosemary will burn very easily and you'll smell it. It'll smell burnt. And it mm-hmm. also just smelled rubbery. And they didn't use my coconut oil that I told them. They didn't put the rosemary in. They put another synthetic thing in. They just did what they wanted to do. And, you know, so we had to, like, you know, I had fights with labs at the beginning. I go, I don't know. Coconut oil is not coconut oil. You know, these ingredients are not the same.
They're not used to having someone like you that can pick up on all these details.
No, they don't like that. They do not like that. Mostly as a woman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny how much just like the advertising world has changed since then too. I mean, magazine coverage and now versus social media coverage, that's not even, I mean, you could do this with social media and it'd be totally different now, I feel like.
Oh yeah. You'd have better results on social media than you would in a magazine. This is so why the little brands don't really put in ads in magazines. Like why? Who's buying a magazine?
What's the point? Yeah, not very many people. So what year did you launch?
I launched in 2009, the very end of 2009.
Okay. And so now are you spending all of your time running the brand or are you still doing makeup professionally too?
Oh no, I don't do makeup anymore. I do makeup a little bit for my photo shoots and things like that. And I go around to the stores. Yeah. I love doing trainings. But no, I don't want to do the industry anymore. Yeah, I don't want to get on an airplane anymore. I'm too old for that stuff. I did that my whole life. Constantly going here, there, everywhere. You know, I had the best time ever for sure. And I love all the girls. They were my children, but I just needed to just kind of relax. And I moved down to Savannah. So I'm living in Savannah now.
Wait, yes, which is amazing. I've seen you at, on social media, of course, at Paris Laundry, which is one of my favorite e-stores. I haven't been in person. I live in Houston, but
yeah, it's a great little store.
I've seen that you pop in sometimes, which is so cool.
Yeah, I go in there all the time just to hang out and just see what's going on, chit chat with Kelsey. She's my friend.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that so much. She and I met her just on Instagram and we became fast friends. I actually had her on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
One of the earlier episodes. Yeah. So it's just been so cool to meet people like in this world because I love it. And, you know, you're kind of on your own when I'm posting on social media. I have my app, but just to be able to connect with people, it's been really, really fun.
You know, it's amazing how many people that are really interesting and really innovative with what they're doing. Yeah. You know, Kelsey's one of them. So, you know, it's great that you met her. Become friends. Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things that I love is your the short videos that you're posting with makeup tips.
Yeah.
So cool. I love those.
To do that.
You were? Oh.
Well, no, not really. They kept saying, you have to go on TikTok. You have to go on TikTok. And I said we should be on TikTok ages ago, but I didn't think me. I didn't mean me. I meant like get some girls out there, you know, have them putting on their lipstick, whatever. And they said, no, you need to go on. And so one day I said to them, okay, guys, we'll just do a little thing at the house and we'll do a few little things. And they put it up without me knowing. And so I see it and we've got like some of them have millions of views. Like,
yeah, they're great. And I noticed you've been putting out more lately. I think they're awesome.
Yeah,
they're
helpful. You know, I'm just being me. I'm not trying to, you know, do this paint by number application or paint by number makeup application. I'm just doing it how a normal person would do their makeup. And we want to do it fast. We want to do it simple.
Yes.
You know, I leave all that Instagram stuff where it's all contoured and 10 million layers of highlighters and all that. It's not my thing. That is not what a normal person would do. That's, you know, living their life every day with their kids, their families, going to jobs. We don't wear makeup like that. So I wanted to do something that was conducive and also being an older person, conducive to mature skin.
Mm-hmm. And the tips are so, I feel like they're tips that are practical that I could do, but that actually make a difference. Like what was like the one with lip liner that you did recently? I thought was so great. Is there any that you can kind of describe? Do you think that people could?
One of my biggest ones, my biggest pet peeve are squirt off eyebrows, and which I talked about. And you know, I'm not a fan of squirt off eyebrows. Young girls can wear it sometimes, but they don't realize that it's actually pulling their eyes together. So it doesn't photograph as well. And it's a trend and some people can pull off a trend. A lot of people can't. And I think as you get older, wearing a squared off eyebrow, even on young girls, it looks mean. It looks like stern.
Right. Cause I think when you furrow, it almost makes it more squared off. And so
it pulls it together. It makes it it's more of an aggressive look. Some girls can pull it off like unbelievably, all the power to them. But when I do what I do, it isn't conducive to my style of doing makeup. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't normally be used even in photography unless it's an editorial. You're not going to see a catalog where they got big squared off eyebrows in the front. You just aren't going to see that. And I like to think of doing makeup more that's wearable and it's more natural looking.
Yeah.
And another one is the blush too low. Pulling the blush down below the nostrils, because what it does, is it pulls the face down. And as you get older, you want to lift your face up. You don't want it going down even more than it already is going down as you age. So you want to lift it. So I like to put it more up on the apples of the cheek up here, and it pulls it right up and it just looks so much better. And that was a trick I learned from Giselle, actually. I remember when I first started working with her, she goes, "Rosie, you gave me my puppy dog look." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You gave me my puppy dog look." And we went up to the monitor, we removed one side and she lifted it up higher and her whole face just went whoop. And I love to demonstrate when I'm doing videos or any kind of trainings, I will demonstrate on my face because I'm the perfect person to demonstrate on because I have an older face. And when I do it down here, it just pulls my whole face. Plus it accents your frown lines.
I see. So yeah. Would you say above the nostril? Is that kind of
I would just take like my, I take my fingers like this and you know, I kind of point it at my nostrils and I don't go below that line where your fingers.
Yeah, I can see mine a little bit below. I'm going to try that.
Well, leave one the way you do it. Mm-hmm. Leave one the way you do it. And then your other side, just lift it up and you'll see the difference. You'll freak out. You'll freak. People freak out when they see it.
Okay. I can't wait to try this now. I'm going to be self-conscious looking at it right now. That's a great tip. So we talked a little bit in the beginning about your relationship with food and raw food. And can you also talk about how that impacts the skin? Because I know one of the things I've seen you mention is beauty from within. Mm-hmm. And how that is important for skin health. Any tips?
Well, I'm a real advocate for whatever you put in your gut's going to show on your face. So most of us have so much bacteria in our gut from sugar, alcohol, bad food, processed food, flour, you know, everything that's nasty, dairy that some people, you know, most people actually don't get do so well with dairy. And, I did the within products, the prebiotic and the probiotic, and also the digestive enzymes. And it just helps the whole system, you know, gear itself up into functioning properly and having proper bowel movements, having, you know, the right amount of flora in the gut that's not fighting with all the bad stuff. And I just am a person that wants people to eat healthy and to have their bodies healthy, because that's, you know, that's going to make you live longer.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not one for taking a pharmaceutical drug and hoping you get better. It's way deeper than just that. And I like to go right to the root of things rather than just do a mask on it. So yes. I always tell people, whatever's happening on your face, it's because of your gut. So, you know, take probiotics, digestive enzyme. That's really going to help. It's going to take a while because we've taken years to pollute our guts. So you can't just take a quick, you know, probiotic and have it go away in 2 days. You're going to have to take it for a few months. Mostly people that have acne, they're going to see a good change in their skin too when you start taking probiotics and prebiotics and even digestive enzymes. It helps all of that.
Yeah.
And so I always wanted ingredients. If you're going to put stuff on your face, you want ingredients that are conducive to the skin, that are synergistically making love to the skin, synergistically having a reaction, a positive reaction on the skin. So
yes. One of the things that I was thinking, the makeup that you have, it almost feels like your skin can breathe a little bit too, right? Isn't that important?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not using the synthetics. And I always use this a lot is some people will say to me, "Oh, I love your makeup, but it kind of falls off my skin." And I always compare it to two people making love, right? Skin on skin. It's fantastic. And then someone comes along with a plastic bag or plastic sheet. What happens? You slide right off. So when you're putting on, you're eating healthy and you're putting on a really healthy skincare, and then you're putting on these ingredients on top of your face for a dolphin look with all the hyaluronic acid in or something like that, or sunscreens that are all synthetic, it's causing a barrier. So as soon as you put my makeup on top, it's got nothing to adhere to because it's got a synthetic layer underneath.
Underneath. Okay. I see. Yes.
It's like the Gulf. And with that layers of all the oil, the water can't evaporate or the sun can't evaporate any water off because there's a whole layer of oil on the skin. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I always tell people, if you're going to go clean and you're going to go clean skincare, you got to do clean makeup. Also, don't put on the all this synthetic crap.
Yeah, so that's a great tip. I was going to ask you, I was actually my next question. What tips do you have for people that are trying to switch to clean makeup, but like haven't, you know, think it doesn't work well or whatever. And so it sounds like you have to have both.
Well, the first thing is if you're going to go to clean makeup, number one thing you need to think about is your skin is your largest organ. And so go with your skincare first on your body. We're putting on all these synthetic oils. you know, and it's not doing anything. Go stand in the shower and see what your skin feels like. It has, it's literally a layer of this mucky, oily, synthetic stuff that's not doing anything to your skin except for sitting on top. And then it's got your pegs in there, your PEGs, your penetration enhancers. So you got chemicals trying to open up your skin to make this stuff stick in there. Why do people do that? Why would somebody want emulsifiers and all that stuff joining oil and water? And they're all synthetic emulsifiers. It's not good for your skin either. The preservatives, you know, most of them aren't very good for your skin either. You know, all your parabens and all that. It's like, Come on, guys.
Right, right.
And you can get just as good of products now that are natural and clean as you can, you know, that you think are, you know, that are not as good as the your traditional counterparts.
But they're so important, such an important part. They really are so good now. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people just aren't aware of a lot of the things that you said to us. It's like so obvious that there's these synthetic ingredients that are so bad for the environment, bad for our bodies. But yeah. I feel like there's just, people just don't know. And there's a connotation that clean doesn't work, but it really, these products are amazing and your skin will feel better. So I think that's a great message.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, people need to just kind of, and it's not that people are stupid. It has nothing to do with that. People right. just don't know. And the industry is not going to tell you. If you don't do your research, you're not going to know. Like if you don't do your research about what's poured on food, you know,
right.
you never know. And people think, oh my God, you know, my lettuce is nice. I go, no, your lettuce is covered with glyphosate and all that other stuff. It's like, you got to get organic. Yeah,
it's the assumption that if it's on the shelf, it's safe. Going yeah, to be but it's not the
true
truth.
At all. It's about money. No. Money.
I'm curious. In the beginning, you talked about the testing that you did. Have you ever gone back and done those tests again? And I'm just curious, are they better now?
Oh my God. You know, I did those for years. I have years worth of hair analysis, blood analysis, and I kept them all. I've got like a pile that high.
Wow.
That was a bit of a maniac. I like to see what happened. Like, is it going away? Is it coming out of me? But then I realized it's coming out of me slowly. And then every time I go outside and you see all this craziness in the air with the chemtrails, not that I should mention that, but you know, but we're inhaling all this stuff. So we're getting it right back in our body. So I always tell people, start detoxing, people. You got to be detoxing all the time.
Start detoxing. Any like go-to detoxes that you do?
Yes. I like chlorella. Works really nicely.
Okay.
It really helps because it binds with chemicals in the body and pulls them out. And there's also, you know, zeolite and sprays. You can get these little sprays.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The bentonite clay for, you know, bentonite clay is really good to have around the house just for, is it bentonite? The black one, the one that's black. Cause that's one, like if you get food poisoning or anything, you take that. It'll just, you won't be sick. It'll
really
poison in your gut.
I didn't know
that's
that.
Good to take when you travel. To take that and probiotics when you travel too, but always just do a detox with, you know, some of the clays work really well, and you get them in sprays now in nanoparticleized versions, so they're able to go to deeper in the organs and everything.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you said when you walk outside and then you get exposed again, I think that's another reason why I think it's so important to choose the safer stuff, because we have the ability to choose safer skincare, safer makeup, but there's some things that are unavoidable. You can't avoid some of the stuff in the air, you just can't avoid. So you need to be taking the steps when you can.
And just take steps to detox yourself. It's not so hard. You can get a lot of information on detoxing.
Yeah.
And do the odd little fast too, really helps too. And it makes you feel amazing. It makes your skin look awesome after you've done
a fast.
Oh yeah. That's more anti-aging than anything you put on your skin. Believe me.
Yeah. It's funny. I was experimenting with intermittent fasting, just trying to lengthen that time, one time period, you know, eating earlier and then not eating again until the morning, eating early, you know, not eating dinner and then eating in the morning. And I felt like my head was clear the next morning. I've only done it a few times. So when I wake up in the morning, I just feel totally fresh. Yeah. You wake up. It is incredible. I want to look into that some more because I think that
fasting's amazing. I've been fasting my whole life. I started fasting at like 15 years old. My mom go, what are you doing? I go, I'm on a fast.
Really?
No, I'd go a whole week with just drinking water.
Oh my
I
God.
Did that all the time. My mom thought I was nuts. She let me, oddly enough, actually, when I think about it, kind of odd that she let me do that. But the thing is, I wasn't smart enough to realize that when you stop a fast like that, you can't just go and get brie and French toast or French bread and wolf down the whole thing because you're so hungry. I see you just sitting there going, oh my God, oh my hurts.
That's you funny. Know? So do you, so you don't do it every day though. Do you do fast every now and then, or what's your, what's like,
well, every once in a while do a fast, mostly if I get, sometimes I get headaches. And so when I have a headache, that's my first indicator that I need to detox. So I usually will spend 2 days not eating, just drinking tons of water and
okay.
taking minerals. Minerals are super important for us nowadays too, because our food is completely devoid of minerals. Mm-hmm. And you can't sleep, you need magnesium. And, there's kinds of magnesium, but, you know, you just go research which one you want and which one's better for you that you need. And, but we need our minerals, man. We got to be substituting our minerals. Shilajit is another good thing for detoxing is Shilajit.
Yeah, I have seen that. I haven't tried it, but I've seen it. Shilijat. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Interesting. This is such a fun conversation. I love it.
It is, right?
You like are into all of it, health in general and makeup. I love it. So fun.
A quick little fast you can do, anybody could do right off the bat is, you know, not eating late at night at all, mm-hmm. like stop your dinner and then wait a good 12-hour cycle before you eat again. And that helps your organs. And that's all anti-aging to do that. It just takes the work off of your inner clock, you know, and your inner organs. And it really helps.
Break. Yeah, they really need
a break. You know, and people that are really sick, they really need to embrace fasting because I'm telling you, it works so well.
Yeah, it really does. Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been so nice talking to you, Rosemary. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us and getting to learn about your brand. This is kind of a full circle moment for me because, like I said, I just discovered RMS early on in my journey and I've loved it ever since. And so talking to you has been really fun.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. That was fun.